forgiveness is so important. It matters so much for many reasons. And what I want us to do as we wrap up these messages on forgiveness today from this passage in Colossians 3, to think about not just what forgiveness is, because at some level we all understand it, but it's also at times very, very difficult and quite often even complex. But we get the gist of it, of what forgiveness means. Forgiveness from God to us, and then forgiveness of us to the one who has offended me, or me asking forgiveness of the one that I have offended. But when all of that is over, when the dust has settled and forgiveness is extended and received, what is the goal beyond that? Like, why is forgiveness so important? Why does it matter so much? And that is summed up in one word that I shared with the boys here a moment ago: peace. We have peace with God. And my question for you as we begin this morning is, are you at peace? Listen to that question. Think that question through. Meditate on that question as I give you several verses now that relate to that word, peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Are you at peace? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you at peace? Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Are you at peace? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Are you at peace? I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Are you at peace? Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Are you at peace? Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Are you at peace? Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all. Are you at peace? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Are you at peace? I could have doubled or tripled that list very easily. What that word peace and its association with forgiveness is vital. In other words, if we find ourselves at a place where peace seems absent in our lives, where we can't seem to attain or maintain a sense of peace in our hearts, our minds, our lives, our relationships, we're going to walk this path backward. We're going to show you what the path is, but then you walk the path backwards, and there may be a forgiveness or unforgiveness issue that you're not dealing with. Because when forgiveness is lived in, is received, accepted from God, and then extended to my brothers, my sisters, and even to my enemies, then the peace comes, and the peace is enhanced and it grows. But if it doesn't, if it's not, and there could be other things too, but it could be a forgiveness issue. So in Colossians 3, we're going to see what this path of peace is. First of all, a heart A heart set and mindset from above. A heart set and mindset from above. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Heart set and mindset. It's the phrase heart set, or setting your heart on something. Another word for that would be desire. What do you desire most? And then the mindset, another D word for mindset would be decisions. Every day we have desires and decisions that move us, drive us, hold us back, change us for better or for worse. We are the brain is a decision-making machine, and many of them we're even subconscious about, but there's many conscious decisions that we are making that we are driven to that place because of where our heart is at. And if our heart is in the right place, we are going to make better decisions. So the heart set and the mindset are lined up. When the heart is not in the right place, I am more likely and will inevitably make bad decisions. So Paul is writing here to the Colossian church and to us even now as part of the church worldwide forever, that since we are raised with Christ, since you have faith in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, you need to start thinking higher. You need to start thinking better. You need to kind of raise the bar. Not that you can achieve it on your own, but what Christ has done for you, he has enabled you to live in a better way, to live in a new way, to live, and we're going to see what that looks like in a moment. But this is the beginning to embrace with your heart and your mind, the ways of God, the higher ways of God. And then number two on this path to peace, stomp out what is beneath you. Verses 5 through 8 says, put to death therefore whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Stomp out what's beneath you. Your heart and mind are in Christ, are desiring and deciding to follow him and his higher ways, his better ways, the things that came from above, and now you've got these old ways that you don't need anymore. Now, understand, I said this is a path, and you have to start with number one. Because if you skip the first one, if you're not, if you don't have that basic relationship with Christ, that is to believe in him, to believe his way, even though you don't understand it much yet, and you just got little bits and pieces, but you're on the right direction. If you don't have that, then you're going to begin to say, well, I can do it myself. I can change me. I know this stuff isn't good for me. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to stop it on my own. I'm going to show God and the world that I can do it. I can do it myself. And the truth is that without Christ in you, it's not going to work. On the surface, it might look the same, okay? On the surface, the motivation doesn't show up right away. So one person decides to be, for example, much kinder because, well, they have to be kind or they won't get a promotion. So they're all of a sudden, you know, Mr. Happy Guy at work, okay? And another person decides to be more kind because God spoke to their heart about it, and that just isn't good for you, okay? So when promotion time comes and the guy whose motivation was the promotion doesn't get it, the kindness evaporates very quickly. Why? Because his house was built on sand. The foundation was washed out when the storm of something he didn't want or liked came along. But when the other person got the same news, it was okay. Because my foundation isn't built upon something that's going to wash away. My foundation is built on Christ. That's what this is about. It is stomping out what is beneath you because Christ is in you and you don't need it anymore. I could be even more stark with the wording there because Paul is. He says flat out, put to death, therefore. Get rid of. If I am found to have something in my body that could kill me, a cancerous cell, then I want it gone. I want to get rid of it. I want that cell to die because it's going to hurt me. And in our spiritual lives, in our emotional lives, in our relationships in life, there can certainly be cancerous things that go on there. And cancerous things like anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from our lips. All of that is in the spiritual, emotional, relational sense, a cancer that can kill all of the good things that God wants to bring. So that's why it is stomp it beneath your feet. Get it out of here. Take it off because you are living for something much better. And the third step is then renewed in knowledge, include everyone. Renewed in knowledge, include everyone. Verse 9, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So now go back to the first one there. There's a mindset that's changing, better decisions based upon the ways of God, then your knowledge, same idea, mind, is being renewed in a good, in the best possible way, into the ways of God. When you participate in the knowledge of God, in the mindset of Christ, you know what happens? You become inclusive, like Jesus was. And the hostility that we all naturally gravitate toward as broken human beings begins to go away. The hostility between people groups. Now, Paul listed them in this passage to the people in the church in Colossae as Jew, Gentile, circumcised, uncircumcised. He talks about barbarians and Scythians and slave or free. So those are the categories at that time that would have been very common for people to take sides on. Okay, now remember back to the non-dual portion of this series. All right, this is one of the ways in which Jesus is non-dual. He doesn't take sides. He says right here, Paul writes about in Christ, Christ is all and is in all. So what that means is the people that I used to look down upon, and then today's categories would be based upon racial lines or political lines or economic lines or so many other ways that we choose to divide from people, the renewed knowledge enables us to step away from that, to stop looking at the surface things that I don't like about them, that I was always taught not to like them, not to trust them, stay away from them, and then look at the person behind the surface. And the love of Christ can teach us in time to do that. Somewhere underneath is all of the trouble on the outside, all of their bad decisions and their broken heart has caused them to create a lifetime of veneer, a surface tension, ugliness, a thick a wall, whatever you want to use there to describe something to keep others away. And in Christ, we're able to see through all of that, break it down, and see the person behind it all, and then see them the way he does, that is, a person who is made in his image. And no matter what he or she is guilty of, no matter what he or she has done, they are a candidate for salvation in Christ. Every one of them, all in all. That's what this is about, renewed in knowledge to include everyone into the gospel. Yes, there's many who don't want it. Yes, there's many who will always be, always reject, always push away, who enjoy chaos, who enjoy hatred, who act out in vengeance, who think they have a right to do all of those things. You know, you can't control how they're going to react, but if you approach them with love, another way of saying this is when we have the courage or the opportunity and the opportunity to connect with someone that we always didn't get along with before for whatever reason, and if we lead with pointing out their sin, how far is it going to go? That's not your job. No matter what the sin, it is not your job to point out their sin. By the way, as if they didn't know it. How aware are you of your own shortcomings, failures, sins? Does anyone have to remind you? How do you feel when you are reminded? is that an open door to a closer relationship? Or is that slam the door, you know, lock it down, build a wall, and weld the door shut? I mean, that's what it's like when you approach people pointing out their sin. It is the Spirit's job to do that. Our job is to love them where they're at. Now, if they're not going to accept that, Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, talks about places of peace, people of peace. Okay? That word fits in really well here, obviously, because when you reach out to someone and they're open and they're willing to listen and to consider and appreciate the time you're investing in them to hear their story, that is peaceful. But if the person, even with you come with an attitude of love and peace, still pushes back, still rejects, still, you know, exchanges an expression of love with an act of hatred, okay, back off, let it go. It's not you, it might be someone else, or it's not now. You don't have to keep pushing. That isn't going to make it better. But that's what we're talking about with including everyone as we are renewed in knowledge. And then that leads to putting on your good works clothing, or to carry out this work. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Notice the therefore in verse 12. And when you see the word therefore, you look what it is. Therefore, it is pointing back to the previous verses. So if you want to be an inclusive person, Christ all in all, put on these actions in your life. Take them on. And again, it's not self-righteousness that you're doing this from. It's not that foundation, that loose sandy one. It is the solid rocky foundation of the love of Christ given to you that you are standing on. And so your kindness and your compassion are from a place of genuine love for other people. So you're putting on those things. Now notice too how all of those words are in relation to other people. They have to be. Okay? So this isn't a me and God thing. Okay? Lord God, I pray that I would be more compassionate. God doesn't go, okay, Paul, I like that prayer. That's a good desire. Bing, you are now a compassionate man. Well, how do I know that? Do I just wear that badge? Does God give me a little golden star I wear in my shirt? I'm compassionate. No, I have to show that I'm compassionate. I can't be compassionate unless I have people to be compassionate with. I can't be kind unless I have people to be kind with. I can't show humility unless I am around people where I am showing that I am humble or just being humble. All of those words are in relation to others. And then he says also with gentleness, we're gentle toward people. And he ends with patience. Now that's interesting because Paul uses so many of these lists in his writings. He'll write down the acts, and sometimes he calls it himself, the obvious acts of the sinful nature, as he does here. And he lists them in various ways in his writings. But then he contrasts it with, let's get rid of that, put it off, stomp it under your feet, and put on and walk in something new and different and better. But when he describes love in 1 Corinthians 13, that's kind of a list. It's the attributes of love, what it is and what it isn't. What's the first one he uses there? Love is patient. Now, in this list, although much shorter, he ends with patience. I think there's a reason for that. I think it's very intentional. Because if you go on to the next sentence, okay, he says, next verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. So, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Yes, speaking of patience, you're going to need it because you're going to need to bear with others. Who do you have to bear with? Not just the enemy out there or the one you've never gotten along with or the kind of people that you've always resisted and understandably so, but with, you know, you have the courage to step out in faith and love and to love them and learn to love them. We're talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Do we always get along in the church? Do we always agree? I mean, I love all of you here. I love all of you watching out there, assuming I met all of you. Usually I have, and you know me at some level. And if you're a new person, welcome. But even at that level, we can and do agree on what matters most, and that's Jesus and his love for us. Love given on in his life and on the cross and his resurrection and his spirit, you know, motivating us to live at this higher level for him. But we still have that nature in us that wants to drag us back. And when that happens, it can happen with brothers and sisters in Christ. So patience is followed by bearing with one another. Hang in there. Yeah, I know that's the way she is. We got to keep loving her. Sure, he's done that before. We're working on it. I think he's working on it. But you got to love him and continue to do so. And sooner or later, you're going to, in a weaker moment of frustration or fatigue, maybe you are going to snap out. Maybe you are going to say the thing that your teeth were holding your lips back from saying previously, and this time it blurts out. And the patience runs out. Well, what happens next? Verse 13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, how far should you forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. There's that Lord's Prayer description of what forgiveness means. It is not just God and me. It is not just me and others. It is both. If you accept forgiveness from God, it passes through to others. It needs to, or it just stops right there, and you're not going to have peace, as I said when we started today. Forgiving your co-workers. And that's what this verse is all about. We are co-workers in the work of God in this world. Our work clothing look like work clothing, okay? This isn't our Sunday best, you know? But we also look, let me say this carefully, just to use this analogy that Paul is using here, I'm putting on new clothes. We are attractive to the rest of the world. And I don't mean in a physical kind of way, okay? I mean if you are wearing compassion, wearing kindness, wearing humility, wearing gentleness and patience, you know, and those are genuinely a part of you, that is an attractive person to others, because so many people in the world don't experience those from anybody. Even within their own homes, in their own marriage, quite often, they have the opposite of every one of those. And when there's a person who genuinely displays those qualities in their life, you are attractive. Christ is attractive in you, I guess is the best way of saying it. What they're seeing is they're seeing Jesus in you. And so as we, and even the forgiveness part, not just between the two people in the body who have had some kind of a problem and they've worked it out, but when others see that their brother and sister have worked it out, or someone else who isn't part of the body of Christ just yet, but they're thinking about it, sees that this brother and sister in Christ worked things out, they say, wow, that's pretty awesome. I don't see that very much in my life. How do I get in on that thing where people have a bad day and have a, you know, maybe a bad moment with one another and it hurts, but sometime later they come back and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And forgiveness is offered and extended and, you know, a hug happens or whatever, but, and you go on and people see that. That's a witness. That's the clothing looking good on both of you. The path to peace is number 6, is put on love. Verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So there's those words again, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiving. But it's all a part of love. It's not as if gentleness is separated from love. God, you know, I'm a really loving person, but, you know, I don't need to be gentle about it. Well, yeah, you kind of do, because genuine love has a gentleness quality about it. Genuine love is humble. It isn't looking for praise or accolades or even attention. It's just, you're just being who you are in Christ. You're humble about it. You don't even know you're being humble, okay? That's a good sign, by the way, okay? If you're worried about being humble, then you might actually have a pride thing going on. You can be proud about how humble you are. I say that because I've been there, okay? and God kind of revealed that to me. He says, Paul, you know, don't try to get attention by being humble. That's not what this is about. Just be. And so all of these are part of love, and you can double that list too. But they are bound together by love, it says there in verse 14, in perfect unity. Love is perfect. Do you hear that? Love is perfect. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but love is. So when I am speaking with love, acting in love, walking in love, bringing love into my relationships, then I am walking in perfection because love is perfect. Now, I'm going to fail and fall at love. It's not love that you know, was the problem. It was me choosing something other in that moment. But love itself is perfect. And lastly, on the path to peace, here there is peace. Now we walk through all of these steps, beginning with knowing that you are raised with Christ, and then to set your heart and mind right, stomp out what's beneath you, be renewed in knowledge and include everyone, putting on those good works clothing and forgiving the people you are working with when that need arises, and then putting on love in all of its ways, and then you can have peace. See, you can't jump to the 16th verse here, and you know, 15th, excuse me, and say, well, this is what I want, God. Give me that. Okay? So let's listen to the way Paul talks about this here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I want to use that word, play a little bit of a word twist on the word rule. The rule of peace is in two ways, I think. It is to rule of peace as in authority, like peace rules over us. Okay? I think that's the essence of this. But then there is also the rule of peace, a rule to be obeyed and walked in and lived in. Okay? So it's really both of those. Peace ruling over us. I love these three words, the call of peace. We are called to peace. This is the end goal. Now, if I want this kind of peace, but skip out on these other things, I'm not going to know it. If I don't have peace, I need to look back and see, is there something there that broke down? Is there something there that I need to forgive or to be forgiven of? Is there something else that isn't quite right between me and someone else? Or the, you know, all of that, we walk the path back to recognize that if peace is hard to come by, there's a reason. But the promise at the end is always the same. It is that peace will rule in our hearts together, because that's what God wants. That's what He's calling us into. And that is the response that we have every Sunday morning here as we gather in worship, is to say thank you to God. That's why a regular practice of worship in the body is so important. And I pray for the days when all of our friends will prayerfully return to these chairs, and we'll keep on sending this signal through the internet, and we're so thankful that we can do that. But unless you're completely unable to do that, I really strongly urge all of us to get back in these chairs together. And to worship together. Because when you come together in the same place at the same time, what we're doing is we are a people who were called to peace, and we celebrate that peace. We celebrate that peace by having hearts of gratitude, by saying thank you to God. He says that twice in that last paragraph here in this passage this morning. You know, gratitude, thankfulness. And which is what worship is. So whenever we come to worship together, no matter what is on our hearts and minds, again, mindset, heart set, okay, decisions and desires, no matter what that looks like on any given day or any given Sunday morning, we can set that aside and say, thank you, God. Thank you for peace. Thank you for the peace I've experienced this last week. It's been wonderful. God, the peace has been absent, and I need to see why. And this is the best place to find that out. This is the best place to be restored and renewed. And if it's between me and you, let's start. If it's between me and someone else in this very room, then I'm going to get that right, and I'm going to do it today. Or I'm going to go home, or I'm going to connect with them. I'm going to send them a text. Hey, let's have lunch. Can I stop by? Whatever it is, but you get it right, because we come to say thank you, God, in worship. Are you at peace? We'll close with this one last verse about peace. I don't know if it's my very favorite, but it's so good. Philippians 4 says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for that truth in Jesus, that we have peace and we can know peace in deeper ways. Help us to walk in it and to share it. Amen.